Hey there, and welcome once again to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. You and me, we're going to be hanging out at the table for the next 30 minutes. Make yourself comfortable. Hope you brought a snack. Hope you got a beverage. We're going to hang out, talk about Jesus, and walk together, or sit together, for at least for this 30 minutes. Yeah, I realize my slogan is let's walk together, but here we are sitting together. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know these are trying times, but just try to keep your focus on the fact that Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know it's hard, but that's the purpose of why we do this program. That's the reason that I'm doing this each day, because I want to walk with you. I want to help to keep your focus on Jesus. We're going to do that throughout the next approximately half hour that we have to go in the program, so that we can continue to maintain some sense of peace and look for the silver lining in the midst of this unbelievably crazy coronavirus pandemic. That's the secret. And yes, God would not have allowed any of this to happen if he could not bring good out of it. I know it's hard for us to imagine that, but this is where trust comes in. This is where faith comes in. This is where we have to make that conscious decision, that conscious pivot, if you will, from fear to faith, where we acknowledge that we're afraid, we're scared. And guess what? There's plenty of reasons to be afraid right now, but we pivot, we turn to the Lord, we move from fear to faith. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm going to help you with, and we're going to do that for the next 30 minutes. How about this? Why don't we pray, and then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. That sounds good. Let's go. Let's pray if we can. Now, before we do that, let's place ourselves in the presence of our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father. Jesus told us to call our Father Abba, or Dad, that familiar term. We're going to talk to our Daddy right now, who cares about us, who loves us, who is all-powerful. If you can, I want you to transport yourself back to when you were a child, when you were small, and you trusted in your father. Now, it's possible that you didn't have that father figure in your home, so I want you to just picture that you do have this loving father. You know, you probably had that desire that you wished you did have that. I had a great loving father image. My dad was wonderful when I was growing up. I just trusted him for everything. He gave me security. This is what we want to do with God our Father. We are in his presence now. We're going to talk to him as we lift our voices in prayer together. I'll lead, you follow. We're going to talk to our dad. He's my dad and he's your dad. So therefore, what? You and me, we're related. We're going to talk to our dad now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving us this moment in time. You have brought us to the present moment, and we are incredibly grateful for that. We often complain, we often lose sight of the fact that you are allowing us to continue living. Well, first of all, you created us in your image and likeness, and now you are allowing us to continue living and breathing and being able to speak with you and have you speak with us. Father, we lift our cares, our concerns up to you right now. Jesus told us that you know what we need even before we tell you, but you still want us to share our needs with you because you want us to turn to you. You want us to depend on you. You want us to have that relationship with you, to have that line of communication always open. So we turn to you, Father. We give you our problems. We've got many of them right now. We give you our problems and the problems of everyone in the world. Tremendous suffering is going on right now. Tremendous fear. Tremendous financial insecurity. Father, you know that. This is a chance for us to really give it up to you, to surrender our cares to you and let you take care of them for us. Father, let us know what we should be doing. You give us control, limited control over certain areas of our lives. Let us know what we should be doing, what you want us to do. We pray for an increased trust in you. Help us to be able to find the good in every situation. Help us to be able to be more grateful for all that we've been given. Open our eyes, which many times have been blinded. We don't necessarily see all of your goodness. Help us, Father, to be comforters to those around us. Help us to be able to share your peace with those living in our house, those we encounter online, those who we may encounter on our visits to the grocery store. Even though we might be social distancing from them, we could still smile, we could still wave, we could still be pleasant. Help us to know what we need to do. Father, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We ask you to ease the suffering of anybody affected. We pray for those who are in the line of fire, those who are on the front lines, those who are serving in the hospitals and clinics, our first responders also, those who are working in the grocery stores and providing our needs. Father, help us. Keep us safe. Help us to, as we travel the remaining few weeks of Lent, help us to be able to become aware of our sinfulness so that we could turn away from sin and move closer to you through your Son, Jesus. Father, I ask for a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit for me so that I can deliver your message today, and for each one of us so that we can hear what it is you have to say and respond to it by putting it into practice. Father, I ask you for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. You know, this is our second week. I made it through the first week, and I am loving it. I am loving doing this show every day once again. We've been on a 2.5-year hiatus, but it is time to bring the show back. And I want to thank you because due to your generosity financially and making donations to my ministry, I'm able to come back for a second week of this program. So I want to thank you for your continued financial support, for your prayers, for your good wishes. I really do appreciate everything. If you want to find out more about my work, if you want to read my books, or if you want to make a donation, you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com. You can also get in touch with me through the website, followingthetruth.com. Click on contact, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. I know what you're wondering. The big question on your mind today is, Gary, what is your beverage du jour? Now, obviously, I sound a little confident today because I'm coming at you with something a little different, right? You know it's not going to be a glass of water today because that's kind of run-of-the-mill. You know, one time I made that comment on the show several years ago, and somebody got angry because I was downplaying or brushing off water. I'm serious. Yeah, but again, I'm not trying to offend. I know water's really good for us. Water's important. But my beverage du jour today is, well, let me take a sip of it and invite you to take a sip of yours too. Oh, man, that is good. I might have to put the show on hold for a minute. That's really good. I am drinking a nice mug of hot chocolate today. Can you believe that? Oddly enough, it's about 65 degrees here in southern New Jersey, but I saw some hot chocolate in the cabinet, and I figured I'm going to go for it. That's going to be the beverage of du jour of the day. I hope, actually, that's beverage du jour means the beverage of the day, so I guess that was a little repetitive there. I hope you're enjoying yourself. Hope you're having a good snack. I hope you're going to be patient with me for a couple more minutes till we get this show going. But look, this is what we do. This is what this program is all about. I consider you and me to be two friends, better yet, two family members. We're talking about Jesus. We are reassuring one another. And even though you might not feel it, you're helping me every bit as much as I may be helping you with this show through your prayers, through your kind words. This really helps me. I feel I can see you sitting there on the other side of whatever it is, however you're listening to this show. And I want to keep it this way. I want to keep it informal. I want to be able to do this for you every day. And I'm feeling your presence too. So the two of us, we're going to get through this. This is a difficult time. This is an unbelievable Lent, but it presents an incredible opportunity to trust God. I mean, this has gotten taken up to a whole new level. It takes trust up it raises the bar on trust to a level which I could never imagine. But that's okay. because we're going to get through this. The Lord is with us. And that leads me to the Give Up Worry for Lent Bible verse for today, which is, if you're following along with my book, Give Up Worry for Lent, the verse is, we're looking at day number 34, Monday of the fifth week of Lent. And here's the verse. This is one that has been floating around quite a bit. I've seen it on Facebook. I posted a variation of it a few days ago. This is one that we really have to cling to today. And this is one of them that, you know, we just don't want this to be an empty platitude. This is not just fluff. This is the real deal. And you know, I pray that your heart will be open enough to accept this, because this is how we're going to get through this crisis. Let me read it to you. It's Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, one of the things, again, you know, you see this verse all over the place. It's on signs. It's plastered all over the internet. And it's a good thing, because it's a great verse. But we don't, here's the problem with it. It's like John 3:16. We see that all over the place too. We don't want to trivialize God's word. We don't want to become a what's nexter. That's a Mother Angelica term. She talked about looking at verses in the Bible and saying, oh yeah, I know that already. What's next? We don't want to become a what's nexter just because we're really familiar with this verse. This is the secret. This is the secret to living at peace even in the middle of the storm. Be strong and of good courage. Remember, this is the inspired word of God. This is not just Gary giving you some advice. The inspired word of God. Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed. And you might say, why? Because there's a lot to be afraid of. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And earlier today, and I posted this on Facebook, I'm just going to kind of repeat this. Earlier today, I was writing an article for one of the publications that I write for. I do a lot of freelance writing for Catholic periodicals. And I was writing an article about Peter walking on the water. And, you know, this it's a familiar story. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. The disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee. They're without Jesus. There was a couple of storms that are documented in the Gospels, but one of them was with Jesus in the boat. This one, he's not even with them. He sends them ahead. So he's really sending them into the storm. He's setting these guys up, if you want to look at it that way. And I know that sounds nasty, he's setting them up, but he sets us up too. And the reason he does that is to increase our faith. Our faith is not going to grow when everything's going great in our life. It's just not. I would like to convince myself and convince the Lord that it is, because I don't like problems. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to convince him of that. But I know, if I'm being completely honest with myself, that that's not true. I'm going to pray harder if I've got my back against the wall than if everything's going great in my life. It just happens that way. So the same thing with faith. Unless my faith is put to the test, unless I've got a major need in my life that's very apparent to me, something that I cannot do for myself, and I absolutely need God's help, my faith isn't going to grow, because otherwise, even though I can fool myself into thinking I'm having faith in God, if it's something I can fix on my own, I'm really having faith in myself. So we need these storms in our lives so that we can have the opportunity to grow in faith, to grow closer to God, to depend on Him more, to give Him a chance to perform a miracle. And we got that right now with the coronavirus pandemic. We have absolutely got the stage set for a big-time miracle. And I hope you're asking Him for it. I am. I'm praying for an end to this thing. I mean, my goal is Easter. I know I can do it today, but there's something about Easter and the resurrection that I'm saying, Lord, I want you to end this. I ask you, I beg you to end it by Easter. I have no idea if that's going to happen, but I know He can. It's okay to ask for things. You know, it really is okay to ask for whatever you think you need. God's not going to be offended, but just accept His answer. That's the tough part, right? Sometimes we ask and we get mad when He doesn't answer according to our specifications. He might not give us what we want or as fast as we want it, and then we get mad at him. That's not right. Jesus told us to pray, "Thy will be done," in the Lord's Prayer. Those are the words, not "my will be done." So if I pray, "Thy will be done," if that's going to be my mindset when I pray, I have to be willing to accept whatever he gives us. But go ahead, let's ask for an end to this thing. Let's ask for an end to the quarantines and the people who are suffering, because people are suffering tremendously. But there's a bigger picture. And this is where the trust comes in. So the Lord leads us into these storms, as he did the disciples that day in Matthew 14. They're in the boat. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They encounter a storm once again. This time, Jesus is not with them. All of a sudden, he comes walking to them on the water. They freak out. They think it's a ghost. And they cry out in terror. But then Peter sees Jesus walking on the sea. And something inside of him feels called to cry out to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." In other words, tell me to do the impossible, because I see you, I believe you, I want to walk on water too. That's pretty incredible, but it gives you an idea as to the type of person Peter was. He didn't hold back. He was pretty impulsive, but this is a good case because this is good in this case because what he's doing, he's being careful, he's discerning. He's calling out to Jesus, "Lord, tell me to come to you." But first he said, "if it is you." See, he wants to be careful because he doesn't just want to impulsively get out of the boat and try to walk on the water. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, especially for Peter, because some of the things he did were very impulsive and he wasn't that cautious. So then Jesus says to Peter, "come." Peter gets out of the water. He gets out of the boat. He does the impossible, and he begins to walk on water. So he is successfully, miraculously walking on water. But then what does he do? The Bible tells us that he takes his eyes off of Jesus, focuses on the wind, and he becomes afraid. And then he begins to sink. And I think that's what many of us are prone to do right now. I did it last night. I turned on the news just to get an update. I want to hear the president speak. I want to hear what's going on with the current state of the battle against the coronavirus. And sure enough, eventually, you know, you watch the news long enough, you're going to hear something that is going to freak you out. You start hearing these numbers of the potential deaths and the number of people this could affect. And again, these are all speculations, so we got to keep that in mind. We have experts, no doubt, who are weighing in on this, but they don't know for sure. I didn't hear anybody who called this pandemic as accurately as it's playing out now. I mean, they all had estimates, but I never heard anything like what we're seeing now. So the point is, let's not continue to dwell on the news and the speculation and the focus on the healthy young people who get this. I mean, you know, that's what we tend to do. As somebody who tends to be controlling, what I like to do is I want to make sure that I'm safe. Do you ever do that? When something like this occurs, you start looking at the facts, or when somebody you hear about somebody dying who might be your age, you start looking for reasons why that won't be you. I mean, this is what we do because we want to control our lifespan. So we start looking to the victims of the coronavirus and we say, "Oh yeah, they're in that age group that's much older than me. They have underlying health problems. Okay, good. Now I can breathe deep. I can breathe deeply. I can relax. It's not going to affect me." And then you get the 20-year-old guy in perfect health who dies instantly. You know, we're going to hear stories like that. But these are isolated cases. But you know what? Here's what I think. This is what we need to remember. Every one of us is only alive by the grace of God. If it's the end of our time on earth, don't you think he can find another way to terminate our lives on earth, right? Of course he can. So let's not get too hung up over dwelling on the statistics and the potential threat to each one of us. Yeah, take it seriously. Don't blow it off. It's important that we take this seriously. And it's okay to be afraid too, because this is a pretty serious problem that we're facing right now. But let's not lose our focus on Jesus. That's what Peter did. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He focused on the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. But here's another good thing that Peter did. Peter recognized, right, that Jesus was the person who could help him. And he cried out to Jesus. As he was sinking, he cried out to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus grabbed him by the hand and he saved him immediately. Immediately he reached out, he saved him. And then he told Peter, you know, look, where's your faith, pal? I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but that's what he said. Where's your faith? Don't you have any trust? And typically when we hear that story, what do we think of? We think that at that moment, everything calmed down and all was well. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that when they got back into the boat, the wind died down. So there was a period of time when Peter and Jesus were in the middle of the storm outside of the comfort of the boat. How long was that? I have no idea. We tend to just read this story as it happened, you know, very quickly, but they could have been out there for a half an hour. They could have been out there for an hour. I have no idea. And, you know, it might be a good idea to try to imagine yourself in that position. I guess we kind of are there right now, right? We're out of the boat in the middle of the storm. The boat represents security. We're outside of the boat. But here's a couple things that we need to remember, and that's why this story is so good. Where was Jesus? Was he in the secure boat with the other disciples? No. He was out in the middle of the storm. So Peter could have stayed in the boat, and again, in that implied security, you think you're safe. We thought we were in control before this whole coronavirus thing blew up. But Peter followed Jesus. Jesus was outside of the comfortable boat. And I think that's the point for each of us. Sometimes Jesus is going to lead us in the storm. When he does that, as followers of Christ, as Christians, right, we're supposed to follow him, we got to go where he leads us. Sometimes he's going to lead us into the storm so that we can grow closer to him. Whose faith do you think increased more that day? The disciples who never found out if they could walk on water. I mean, they saw it, but they didn't do it themselves. Or Peter, who actually felt the sensation of walking on water. Absolutely, Peter's faith grew more. So what I would say is this. Remember that right now, each one of us, we didn't choose this, right? We didn't choose it, but we are outside of the boat with Jesus in the storm. He's with us. And that's why this Give Up, Worry for Lent Bible verse is so good. Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Jesus never promised that we're not going to have problems. Being a follower of Christ does not make us immune to problems, to storms, to crises, to pandemics. It doesn't. But being a follower of Christ assures us that he's going to be with us in the middle of the storm. And I don't know about you, but I would rather be in the storm with Jesus than inside the boat without him. You know, I mean, I know I get it. I don't like suffering any more than the next guy does, but I want to be with Jesus because I've learned that he is the answer. He is the source of our peace. Listen, I did it my way for a number of years. I don't ever want to go back. I don't care what he puts me through. I never want to stop following him because I understand now that that is the only way that I will find lasting peace in life is to follow him. So there you go. That's the message today. And I think it's one that I pray that you really embrace this today. Are you willing to say, Jesus, I trust you in the storm and I ask for your peace today? Say that. You know, ask him for peace. Trust him in the storm, whether or not you feel like it. Trusting Jesus has nothing to do with feelings. A lot of times we think it is. Well, I feel trust. No, trusting is an action. It's a conscious decision. I decide to trust Jesus, even when I might not feel like it. So I suggest you do that today and continue to keep your eyes on him. Read a little scripture. Take a look at this verse. Read the story in Matthew 14 of Peter walking on the water. And when you do that, see, when you open your Bible up and do that, the Lord is speaking to you. And you're going to get into that story. Just take a little time. Don't rush. Don't rush your way through it. But let the Lord speak to you. And then speak to Him. Have that conversation. That's what that's called Lectio Divina, or sacred reading. It's a fancy word. It's a Latin term. It just means going into the Bible, letting the Lord speak to you, you speaking to Him. It's an encounter with the Lord through the Bible. And you can do that. Any of us can do that. That's the way you can have this dialogue. It's one of the ways you can have a dialogue with the Lord. So I hope you're doing well. I'm praying for you. I would ask you to continue to pray for me. Let me know if you need anything. Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. A couple of things before we go. We're just about out of time. I want to remind you that I do a weekly podcast as well. It's called The Gary Zimak Show. You can get that from iTunes, from Breadbox Media, from TuneIn Radio, from all the usual podcast sources. That's free of charge, just like this show. Typically, the focus of that program is on the Sunday Mass readings. So you can get that show as well. You can keep downloading this show. Let your friends know about it. I want to get the word out to more and more people about this show. The other thing is tomorrow, which will be Tuesday, I'm going to be on Jennifer Fulweiler's show on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the Catholic channel. It's a really candid interview. We talked about a lot of very personal things, so I really think you'll like it if you're able to listen to that. Also, I need you. You know that in order to keep this show on the air, in order to keep my full-time ministry going, while there's no speaking available out there, I need your help. So if you're able to become a monthly sponsor, I would really appreciate if you do that. If you feel this little tug at your heart to do that today, would you please do that for me? Because it's really easy to put it off and not do it, but then it never gets done. And I really need your support to go forward. So all you do is go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you'll be taken to a secure page on PayPal where you can make a donation. If you could become a monthly sponsor for $10 a month, I would be so happy. You'd really help me. If you can, I get it. I totally understand. But if you can, I would really appreciate it, okay? Followingthetruth.com, just click on donate. Hey, I'm going to be back here, God willing, tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Have a wonderful day. Remember, the Lord's with you. Don't panic. He's there. God bless you. See you next time.